Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series on the book of Genesis. The readings are taken from Genesis 12, verses 10 to 20, and James 1, verses 2 to 4, followed by 13 to 18. The talk is given by our lay reader, Mike Gillingham, and is entitled Abraham, Faith Tested, Weakness Revealed. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is also linked on our website.
This is chapter 12, verses 10 to 20, and it talks about when Abram goes into Egypt. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they'll say, 'This is his wife.' Then they'll kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way, and his wife, and everything he had. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. The second reading is taken from James, chapter 1. Verse 2 to 4, and then moving on to verse 13 to 18, about trials and temptations. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. May it lighten our hearts, and may we learn from it. Amen. You've got two rather elderly gentlemen in front of you this service this morning, and because I'm old, when I was young watching television, it was black and white. And I used to enjoy watching cowboy films. And perhaps some of you can name this person. Actually, his name's there, but rather awkward at writing. Anybody? Roy Rogers, well done. And anybody know the name of the horse? Well done. I knew you wouldn't let me down. And there was also the Lone Ranger, yes. It was getting on a bit when he came along, I remember. Anyway, you can tell that these two cowboys are goodies. And the way you tell they are goodies is you look at the hat. Yes? They're both wearing white hats. But things get a bit more complicated. Now, the one on the left of your screen is meant to be Butch Cassidy. And you can tell Butch Cassidy's a baddie because he's wearing a black hat, yes? But the one on the right is the Sundance Kid, who's also a baddie, and he's wearing a white one. What can we do about it? That's real life. Now, I'm going to use a story I've told before, and I do it just because it's an important story. This is one of my fellow readers. Actually, he was licensed as a reader at the same time as I was, but he then went on to be ordained, and here he is about to be inducted into his new church near Eastbourne. And the person doing it was the Bishop of Lewes. He was really good at the service, really impressed. And I'd already been impressed by him because at a union conference I went to, he had greeted us on behalf of Eastbourne. Welcome to Eastbourne, all you delegates. And the group was a mixed group. A lot of them weren't Christians. But he had us all in stitches, and then at the end, he pointed to us and said, "You've got an important job to do, teachers, in looking after young people. You've got a great responsibility." And he made a huge impression on that group. And when I heard the accusations that he abused young men in his charge, I thought, oh, can't be true. Surely not. He's such a wonderful person. It can't be true. And I wasn't alone. I'm in very exalted company. The Archbishop of Canterbury and Prince Charles, as he then was, both find it very hard to believe. But it was true. You can't tell by looking at people whether they're good or bad. But actually, I'll let you into a secret. Everybody you look at is good, and everybody you look at is bad. That's why we have a confession. And I need to give one disclaimer, because some of you may have long memories and will have seen somebody like that, who looks exactly like that, in this church preaching at the cricket service. He had a twin brother who was Bishop of Truro and blameless and a lovely man. He preached a lovely sermon to us here and adapted to our customs well. So if you see him and think, I remember him here. No, it's the other one. It was the good one. But that's so like us, isn't it? We're all like Charlie Brown. And the person who invented peanuts, whatever, came up with the idea of peanuts was actually originally a preacher, and he found this a good way of preaching and probably influenced more people. And if you look at his cartoons, there's often a message in them. But Charlie Brown is just an ordinary person. Charlie Brown, we're all Charlie Brown in some ways, an ordinary person, some good, some bad. We're not perfect, but we're not wholly bad. Nobody is. So we come to Abraham. We're looking at Abraham because he's an example of faith for every one of us. He's held up as the example of faith. In Hebrews, it talks about how he saw a vision of a city, how he's prepared to offer his son because he was confident he'd be given back to him. He's a great example of faith. And we have this story. Every so often in the Promised Land, there's a famine. Times were hard. They get hard for all of us. We all have bad times. Something goes wrong. Probably isn't a famine at the moment for any of us, but there are other things. Life is not always easy. So Abraham makes his journey. Now, I don't know whether the suggested route is actually the route that Abraham took, but if he walked that way, it would take about 2 weeks. That's the sort of time we're talking about. Now, Abraham was visiting an advanced civilization. He may have left one, but he's going to another. So there are problems ahead. It's one of those things we must remember, that our great example of faith, that founder of monotheistic religions, was an immigrant. Yesterday, I saw a group wandering through Taunton complaining about immigrants. I was delighted to see that there were only seemed to be about 20, and presumably a number of those come from other places, so it's not very many, but it's too many. Actually, of course, we're all immigrants. In the Ice Ages, nobody lived here. You wouldn't have lasted long, frankly. He was an immigrant. He wasn't in a boat, but I'm sure he had just the same fear. He's a stranger in a strange land. He's going to somewhere rich and powerful. They're different there. Think of the thoughts in that journey, 2 weeks or so. And he was afraid. He hadn't expected this. What is he to do? And his wife was beautiful. I had difficulty finding a picture of somebody that I could show you. And he feared he might be killed so they could take her. What's he to do? Well, he tells a little lie. He wasn't going to say she was his wife, and she was actually related, so it's only a little lie. You could call her sister. And surely a little lie has no consequences. Do you remember Ed's sermon where he's talking about evil, and one of the lies the devil said is it'll have no consequences. It's only a little lie. I just stretched the truth a little bit. But it's a little lie. But unfortunately, Pharaoh hears about her. She's an asset to his harem, so he takes her in. Remember, Abraham has made her promise she wouldn't tell on him, to protect his life. And it gets worse. Pharaoh gives him lots and lots because of his sister, who he really appreciates having around. She's beautiful to look at. And so he gets rich. And he's trapped. What can he do? He may not be in actual prison, but he is trapped as if he was. How could he go to Pharaoh and say, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Pharaoh. I told you a lie, Mr. Pharaoh. I'm very sorry about it. The usual punishment in Egypt was impaling. So he's trapped. There is absolutely nothing he can do. Here is Abraham, not a stained glass saint. I'm looking around, actually. There are not that many saints portrayed in this church, a few. Of course, St. James up there. He's not that kind of pure picture we have. He's an example to us because he isn't perfect. Abraham, perfect, no, but God cared for him. There was absolutely nothing Abraham could do. He faced probable death in a very nasty way. Nothing he could do. God saves him through that way of making it clear to Pharaoh that something was wrong. Was he carefree? No. But God cared for him. What we need to be very careful is not to say, as some who've never looked at the Bible but claim to be Christians, that no Christians will suffer. But God cares, even in the suffering. Think of St. James there, beheaded for the faith, after whom this church is named. Well, that's not an easy life. And here's a passage about St. Paul, that great evangelist of the early church. I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and being exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 40 was reckoned to kill people, so they only gave them 39. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. That's Paul, the great follower of Christ. Carefree? No. I'm afraid we're all going to go through troubles. But Abraham's our great example because, like us, he wasn't perfect. So he's a good example for us. He had his troubles. So he's a good example for us. God cared for him. So he's a good example for us. Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we thank you for your care. Please keep us from those little lies that can so trap us. Keep us from falling so we can follow you. But whatever, Lord, care for us as we walk with you. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening. and may God be with you today.